Welcome. I was talking to my dad yesterday, and he said, Sarah, they watch my show every day. My parents are like my biggest fans. I love them so much. And he's like, Sarah, I have a real problem with your new show, because every time you say welcome to Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered, you say it like unfiltered is a downer. And I was like, what? He said, the way you say it is just, it's like a downer. It's like negative, and you just need to say it differently. And so I was sitting here and I was like, I don't know how to welcome to Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. Like that, I guess. I don't know. But I don't feel like a downer when I say it. Welcome to Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. Maybe that's better. I am chugging Celsius in my mug today, which you can find at shop.blazemedia.com, by the way. I am chugging Celsius today because yesterday was Super Tuesday and I was up super late. So I want to go into some of the results from Super Tuesday, Trump and Biden obviously dominating their respective primaries throughout the night, moving the two that much closer to the inevitable matchup in the general election in November. So Donald Trump, he won 13 of the 14 states last night. He lost Vermont only to Nikki Haley, of course. He led with an average of 73.78%. He has a total of 995 delegates already. Of course, he needs 1,215 to secure the nomination. And I want to play some of Donald Trump's victory speech from last night. Watch.
We're going to close our borders. We're going to have to deport a lot of people, a lot of bad people, because our countries can't live like this. Our cities are choking to death. Our states are dying. And frankly, our country is dying. And we're going to make America great again, greater than ever before. Thank you very much. It's been a big night. Thank you very much. Thank you.
So just to go through some of the states here. Alabama, he led by 70 points. Alaska, he led by 75 points. Arkansas, 58 points. California, 60 points. Guys, I was actually shocked at that. In California, in the Republican primary, Trump led by 60 points. That should tell you something about the Republicans over in California. Colorado, 30 points. Maine, 46. Massachusetts, Donald Trump led by 23 points. By the way, on the Democrat side in Massachusetts, nearly 10% of Democrat voters selected no preference for their nominee rather than Joe Biden. I think 10% is a lot to just say, I don't actually have a preference. I showed up to the polls to vote, and I'm not even going to check the mark, to check the box for Joe Biden. I'd rather just check no preference. That says something. Minnesota, Trump led by 40 points. And over in the Democrat side, Joe Biden did win, but 20% of voters selected uncommitted. Now, these were a lot of protest votes against Joe Biden's support of Israel. But still, 20%. I mean, I don't know that they like vote for Donald Trump in the primary or in the general, certainly, but maybe they don't show up to vote. So who knows? But North Carolina, Trump led by 50 points. Oklahoma, 66 points. Tennessee, 57 points. Texas, 60 points. Utah, 17. What's going on in Utah? Vermont, of course, Haley won by only 4 points. Virginia, Trump up 29 points. So a solid victory for Trump. So solid, in fact, that... Sorry, I'm just might get a little choked up here. I regret to inform you, Nikki Haley has finally announced she is suspending her campaign. Here's some of her
In all likelihood, Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee when our party convention meets in July. I congratulate him and wish him well. I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Okay. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us. I have always been a conservative Republican.
Have you?
And always supported the Republican nominee.
Okay.
But on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice.
Here we go.
When she said, quote, never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind.
Mm.
It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. and I hope he does that. At its best, politics is about bringing people into your cause, not turning them away. And our conservative cause badly needs more people. This is now his time for choosing.
All right. Well, noticeably absent there was an endorsement of Donald Trump, which, of course, everyone else has done in the race, including Ron DeSantis. But for some reason, I don't know, the catty Nikki Haley refuses to actually take the step of endorsing Donald Trump, even though I will say she did sign that RNC pledge saying that she would support the Republican candidate. But you can't trust tricky Nikki, apparently, with her promises. She often breaks them. So in these primaries, I want to get into a little bit of state-specific notes here. This is awesome. Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson over in North Carolina won the Republican primary last night for governor. And I want to play some of this. Let's just say his victory speech was, like, epically based. Watch.
Here's something else I'm not supposed to say. Ain't but two genders.
Preach. Here we go. About to go to church now. About to go to church. Tell them.
Ain't nothing but men and women. And I can already see WRL out there. They got their licking their pencils right now. Trying to write fierce as they can. Get every word of this here. Get every word of this. You can go to the doctor and get cut up. You can go down to the dress shop and get made up.
I love this.
You can go down there and get drugged up. But at the end of the day, you were just a drugged up, dressed up, made up, cut up man or woman. You ain't changed what God put in you, that DNA.
Raucous applause.
You can't transcend God's creation. I don't care how hard you try. The transgender movement in this country, if there's a movement in this country that is demonic and that is full of the spirit of Antichrist, it is the transgender movement. It's time for grown-ups and time for Christians to start standing up and being unafraid to tell the truth. Come after me if you want to. I don't care. You want my head? Here it is right here.
Guys, this guy just
come
won.
Come get it. I don't care because it's time for us to stand up. Now, I'm not afraid to stand up and tell the truth about that issue. They're dragging our kids down into the pit of hell trying to teach them that mess in our schools. Tell you like this, that ain't got no place at no school. 2 + 2 don't equal transgender. It equals 4. We need to get back to teaching them how to read. Instead of teaching them how to go to hell.
Y'all.
Yeah, I said it and I mean it.
This is, I mean, he won with this type of platform and rhetoric. This is resonating with voters. So, again, I know that we thought that we were going to see a red wave in 2022 in the midterms that did not exist. But the fact that you can get elected by saying these truths, that was overwhelming support there that you heard with him saying these things that were frowned upon as like, oh, it's controversial to say. And he's like, I'm going to tell you and I'm going to get elected and I'm going to be the governor. So also in Texas, there was a bloodbath in the Texas House. Speaking of voters waking up, Speaker of the House Dade Phelan is going to go to a runoff, and he may not even keep his seat. If he does keep his seat, he's going to lose his speaker position. They're not going to vote him a speaker if he can't even get elected without going into a runoff. But of course, we are hoping that he doesn't even keep his seat. So Drunk Dade is out as Speaker of the Texas House. 9 incumbents lost. Another 8 will go to runoffs. And Trump and Paxton endorsed candidates fared very well last night, along with the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals judges that we so desperately needed as Ken Paxton fights the voter fraud here in the state of Texas. So a lot of good news abounds in some of these states. And speaking of good news in these states, I would like to also point out that Joe Biden did lose the Democrat primary of American Samoa. Yes, that is a U.S. territory. And this is the first time an incumbent president has lost a primary since Jimmy Carter in 1980. And I believe it was like to none of the above or something. It was like it was just to no one. And he still lost it. So that tells you how it's going for Joe Biden. Now, I want to play a couple different clips here of the MSNBC coverage talking about, you know, you talk about what is the number one issue for voters. Well, across the board, across the nation, it is clearly immigration because the border crisis affects us all. But ho, 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 not so if you're Jen Psaki and Joy Reid and Rachel Maddow on MSNBC up in your ivory towers laughing at people who are talking about immigration all the way over in Virginia. Ha, ha, ha. Watch.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. Of course, I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested
area. Oh, isn't it so funny that Virginians would care about the border? Like, these people do not live in real life. And I feel like we need constant reminders that, like, they hate you. They hate us. They hate what we stand for. They can't even relate to the fact that we are having to, all of us, I'm not talking about here in Texas, all of us are having to deal with the disastrous open borders policy of Joe Biden. And even still, Joy Reid, with no facts, no shred of evidence, is like, well, actually, Republicans are just, they're just voting based on all of their racism when they're going out to the polls. Watch.
But Republican voters don't vote that way. They don't vote based on economics or based on the benefits they're getting economically from the president. They're increasingly, from the Tea Party on, they're voting on race.
Are we?
They're voting on this idea of an invasion of brown people over the border. The idea that they can't get whatever job they want. A black person got it. Therefore, drive all the blacks out of the colleges. Get rid of DEI. That is what they're voting on. They're just voting specifically on racial animus. At this stage, it isn't about economics.
No.
Little news flash to Joy Reid. First of all, your hair sucks and it's ugly and you should change it. Second of all, here's the thing. It has nothing to do with the color of their skin and it has everything to do with their unvetted strangers, because I'm going to tell you, yeah, that's just it's not a good look. She did go a little bit more brassy. It still sucks. It's ugly and it's cultural appropriation. And honestly, white Europeans are very offended that you are culturally appropriating them with your blonde hair. Okay, Joy. But, you know, like, you know what? This is a time where I am very inclusive with everyone who's coming across the border. I don't care what nationality you are. All of the Chinese people who are coming across, all of the Russians, all of the Iranians, all of the people who are coming in through the border, unvetted. I'm very inclusive in the fact that I don't want them here. I don't want unvetted strangers in our country. It has nothing to do with the color of their skin, which literally anyone would know if they were not sitting up in their ivory towers over at MSNBC, not associating with any of the, you know, any of the, just the serfs, any of the, just the plebeians down there. Oh, what are they? Oh, they just don't like brown people. No, it's just that, like, we don't like, I don't know, things that happen to Lake and Riley and many other Americans. Like, I don't know. That's just, we don't like crime. We don't like sex trafficking. We don't like any of the, we don't like fentanyl. We don't like any of the other things pouring across the border. Maybe you should try, I don't know, relating to the average person every once in a while. All right. I got to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we've got a bunch of awesome guests. But when we come back, I want to welcome Dr. Peter McCullough to go over, you know what, some data on vaccines you are not going to believe when we come back. I want to welcome my friend. It's been a while. Dr. Peter McCullough here, of course, world-renowned cardiologist, doctor, physician, author of his book, The Courage to Face COVID-19, which I highly recommend to all. But I wanted to bring you on, doctor, to talk about these new CDC-recommended RSV vaccines that I think there might be some questionable data on the adverse reactions to these vaccines. Not that, I mean, we would say that they would, you know, develop a vaccine and unleash it onto the population that was like maybe not so safe. Please, they would never do that. But what have you found with these vaccines?
Let's put this in context now. Respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, a lot of parents know about this. It's a seasonal virus. Yes. It comes every year in the wintertime. About half of babies get it. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's like a mild bronchiolitis, a mild upper respiratory tract infection. It does account for, you know, a large number, hundreds of thousands of people going to the emergency room or urgent care center if they don't have a nebulizer at home and, you know, there's a concern. Many times parents just panic and they're not sure they hear the distress. Now, the CDC says about 300 to 600 deaths per year, but I have to tell you, look at that critically. Most of the time, that's in a child with cystic fibrosis or can occur in a very frail adult, almost always because there's been inadequate treatment. Now, treatment has advanced in RSV. We use nebulizers, albuterol nebulizers, budesonide. There are even monoclonal antibodies that can be used in the hospital. Mm. But what's happened with these RSV vaccines is absolutely over the top. Now, both GSK and Pfizer have vaccines. Mm-hmm. They are, it was considered an antigen-based against the fusion protein vaccine of RSV, which is a very stable virus, doesn't change much. And it's not messenger RNA, but they have been advanced like we've never seen before. So pregnant women, ages in the gestation, 32 to 36 weeks now, are all recommended to take this. Now, listen to this. Pfizer's vaccine makes it through the clinical trials program. GSK's is, they're very similar vaccines, is stopped because of safety, of premature delivery. So we would never want to give a pregnant woman in the third trimester a vaccine of any type because it could precipitate fever, and that's the most common cause for a premature delivery, ending up with a preemie baby or worse. So this rolls out. Right now, the CDC is telling us 10% of women are taking these vaccines. At the same time, both Pfizer and GSK vaccines are approved for everybody over 60. It's like, for me, I'm supposed to take this vaccine. Now, I've never ever suspected this in myself. I've never tested for myself. I've never had RSV. I've never had an adult patient with RSV in my career. In the clinical trials, there's always less than 1% of adults ever get it. So you can hardly find anybody with RSV. So anyhow, these advance out. And now the safety numbers roll in. And these numbers are absolutely stunning. These are contemporary numbers that just rolled out in the last few months. 16 million shots have been given. Listen to this. 3834 adverse events, 302 serious adverse events, and 34 deaths.
Wow.
I've looked at all the deaths. Sadly, one was in a pregnant woman. So both the mother and the baby are lost with this shot, which is unnecessary. The women are taking the shot for the theoretical benefit of passing antibodies to the baby. In this case, mother and baby are lost. And the rest of the deaths are in adults. I mean, this is absolutely a tragedy. Many of the adult deaths occurred in kind of frail elderly people when they took the flu shot and the COVID shot together. And when the when the shots are studied, they're always studied independently.
Yes. Yes, yes, exactly, which is what I try to explain to people, even with the, you know, the CDC recommended vaccine schedule that they put for our kids. That's that whole schedule as it is, it has not ever been tested. Like, they're giving kids, you know, four or five at a time. That's never been tested. They don't test them all at once. They test them separately, and they also test them not against a true placebo, which I could go off on, but I won't, because I want to hear from you. You're the doctor here. I'm like, I don't need to explain this to you. But it feels a whole lot, doctor, like they want to create a vaccine for, like, I feel like soon we're going to have like, oh, try this new cold vaccine. I mean, it's like these are viruses that are mild, that are oftentimes they're like, you're fine and your immune system is supposed to work. It's supposed to react. And they just want to like vaccinate us out of ever getting a sniffle.
Well, we warned about this in our book, Courage to Face COVID-19, and we used the term biopharmaceutical complex, just like Eisenhower in his farewell address warned about the military-industrial complex. So listen, you build up this syndicate between big pharma, the regulatory agencies, all the vaccine non-governmental organizations, and now this has become too big to fail. The pharmaceutical companies will tell you that this is market preparation. They have a new set of products. Now, the RSV vaccines are not the only products in this space now. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge surge in RSV testing. So now there's way more cases than there used to be.
Yep.
A lot more
yep.
discussion over this.
Yep.
And this now has become an unbelievable cash cow. Babies, when they are born, now without any question, are given a monoclonal antibody called Beyfortus. We have never given a monoclonal antibody against RSV on the first day of birth. We have no idea what's going to happen to the baby's immune system. They get half a cc of an injection, which is actually, that hurts. These monoclonal antibodies hurt. So the poor babies get this on day one. This is absolutely a stunning development. Two big manuscripts, one by Griffin, and then the other one by Hammett, showed mixed data. This is the New England Journal of Medicine. On the registrational trials, in the Hammond study, in the babies who got Beyfortus, there were 3 deaths. In those who got placebo, 0, because you shouldn't get deaths. Now a paper from Beach and colleagues is out saying, wait a minute, if we give these monoclonal antibodies, a stable virus like RSV now is going to mutate mm-hmm. and work its mm-hmm. way around the monoclonal antibodies.
Mm-hmm.
All of this has been put out there with no attention to safety. Now, we always discuss safety before we ever get to efficacy. So with the RSV vaccine, the deaths are already starting to occur. This is starting a lot like the COVID-19 vaccine story. But in addition, this universal use of monoclonal antibodies, now former INSERM scientist Helene Benoun from France is reporting in France, with about 200,000 babies who have gotten the monoclonal antibody, there's an increase in neonatal mortality.
Which just, it's like it didn't have to happen because they were not at great risk of death from RSV, correct?
Here's the point. A normal, healthy baby is really not at risk for any of
right.
these. So, you know,
right.
a normal, healthy baby is not at risk immediately from hepatitis B. They're
right.
getting a hepatitis B vaccine.
At birth.
Yeah, at birth. They're not immediately at risk. And what's happened, you mentioned the vaccine schedule. We might as well take this on. 1983... over the course of 0 to age 18, there were 7 injections, 24 doses of products, 7 different injections of different products. To 2024, there's 55 injections, 74 doses, not including COVID-19. So if we include COVID-19 by one schedule, we add 18. If we go every 6 months, we add 36. We're talking about 110 vaccines mm-hmm. in a child mm-hmm. without any attention to the cumulative safety of taking these together, the simultaneous administration.
Yeah.
And now Moderna has an RSV vaccine that's messenger RNA. Mm. This is coming right out. So messenger RNA vaccines are following this huge surge in basically a vaccine frenzy that's being waged on the population.
So, doctor, what would you tell parent. I have a lot of parents who I want them to hear from you, not from me, because I have a lot of parents. I know that they know that this is a topic that I am very passionate about. And they're like, what do I do? Give me advice. Tell me what I should do. Where should I go? What should I look at? And I try to get information out. But you're here. You're sitting here. What would you tell a parent who is struggling with a woman who's pregnant and is like, I don't know what to do because these people are, they're making me scared that my baby's going to get RSV. They're going to die. They're going to get, whooping cough. They're going to die. They're telling me that if my baby doesn't get vaccinated, they could die. And I don't know what to do.
World Council for Health, which is an international body similar to the WHO, but I think much more reasonably minded, in September of 2023 came out with an advisory that said, listen, this is getting pretty crazy. We're advising right now just a halt on the entire childhood vaccine schedule until all this can be sorted out. There really needs to be an immediate investigation in cumulative safety. Dr. Brian Hooker was just on Capitol Hill a few days ago. This is in the Senate record. He's presenting this. There's 5 studies that show if a normal, healthy child goes natural with no vaccines whatsoever, they're healthier.
Yes.
They have lower rates of allergic dermatitis, upper respiratory tract infections, need for tympanostomy tubes, lower rates of food allergies, asthma, lower rates of neuropsychiatric disorders like ADD, Asperger's, autism. It's looking pretty good to go natural in today's modern day. I think where we're going is, this is becoming, as you can see, an impossible situation, is going to risk stratification. And that is, the children who really need specific vaccines should get them. So, a baby who's born to an active IV drug abusing mother should get hepatitis B vaccine. Places in Africa where infantile tetanus is very high, mm-hmm. a woman should get a tetanus shot during pregnancy. But, you know, an American mother who is in suburbia with no threats, any of these threats, honestly, none of this is needed. Remember, vaccines, the pregnant woman is faced with influenza, diphtheria, pertussis, DPT, diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis. Those are three. Now with the also COVID vaccine, mm-hmm. and you know, the COVID vaccine, they said give it any time during pregnancy, which was completely reckless. With those vaccines, a woman clearly has risks of, in the first trimester, fetal loss, again, because fever, you know, can provoke a miscarriage, midterm, stillbirth, and then towards the end, premature, and now a premature baby that could have been a baby full term. So vaccinating pregnant women who have zero risk in modern day America, in my view, is unwarranted. And this kind of started over 10 years ago. But in certain circumstances, let's take another one, HPV. Mm-hmm. So a lot of, you know, as the children come up, a normal, healthy, you know, boy or girl in America today, you know, HPV occasionally creates these awful neurologic syndromes that look like multiple sclerosis. And I've had parents take me to more than one of these children saying, listen, here's my child before the HPV, now they're in a wheelchair. So, you know, HPV, let's say, a gay or bisexual man who has tons of contact, you know, what have you, that applies. Let's say somebody goes into healthcare, like me, working with blood and syringes and needles and scalpels, hepatitis B vaccine. Someone who has had their spleen taken out from a car accident, well, they would need the pneumococcal vaccine, Haemophilus influenza B vaccine. So I think we can find cystic fibrosis, you know, pulmonary disease should get the full schedule of rest.
Not a one size fits all.
That's the point. Right. It's too much now. The vaccines keep getting added. Nothing gets subtracted.
Right, right, right. Yes. Well, right. Because here in 2024 in America, you are the guinea pig, right? Like you are the study. You are the study at this point for GlaxoSmithKline and Pfizer and all of that. Like you are the study. So if that's what you want to sign up for with these RSV vaccines and the COVID vaccine and everything like that, more power to you, I guess, but like, just know that you are the guinea pig in this case. And as Dr. McCullough is saying, there are a lot of adverse reactions that are occurring that did not have to take place. So, Dr. McCullough, thank you so much for coming on and imparting your wisdom. I always am so appreciative of your time whenever you can join us. Because again, it's like I'm saying the things, but I'm not the smart one. You are. So I appreciate you joining us. Will you come back soon?
Thank you. I will.
Good. Good. Thank you. All right. Before we go, I do want to thank, speaking of the medical industry, not vaccines, throw those in the trash, but Jace Medical. So Jace Medical is there for, you know, during COVID. We were just talking about COVID. During COVID, there were a lot of shortages. You know, there are a lot of medications that are made in China. Unfortunately, it shouldn't be that way, but it is. And when China shuts down, they shut down and you can't get your medications. And so Jace Medical is there for, you know, drug shortages, things of that nature. If you're on the go and you need emergency medication. So they have a Jace case that contains 5 essential antibiotics, which treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. And it's customizable. You can get a bunch of add-on medications. You can choose the ones that best fit you and your family's needs. They even have ivermectin as an add-on option. So all I'm saying is there's been a shortage of amoxicillin before too, right? And it's like you don't want to mess with strep throat not treating it. So what you need to do is make sure you go get a Jace case, not just for you, but if you've got like grown adult, you know, children with families of their own, you can get them a gift card so they can get one as well. So everyone can be prepared for the unexpected. You can go to jacemedical.com, enter code Sarah at checkout for a discount. That is jacemedical.com. We'll be right back. Welcome to the program now, Peter Schweizer. He is, of course, an author and one of my favorite people when it comes to really digging in and exposing the corruption within, I don't know, everything, but particularly to the American government. You know, of course, the Biden family, the Biden crime family, I should say. So I love all of the work that you're doing. But I want to, in particular, talk to you about your new book. It's called Blood Money. And you and your team spent more than 2 years scouring restricted Chinese military documents. They data mined American financial records, tracked U.S. political leaders and family business. And you're dropping a bunch of bombshells in this book, exposing the CCP's covert operation. That's, you know, American drug trade, social justice movement, you know, medical industry, just to sow chaos within the U.S.
Yeah.
That sounds really scary.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the image that I think of when I think of this book is America's on fire. There are all these things going on. China's holding an empty can of gasoline, and our leaders are basically not saying or doing anything about it. It's not that they caused these problems, but they've exacerbated them and made them worse. That's violence in the streets with what they're doing and equipping some criminal gangs in the United States, what they're certainly doing in supporting and encouraging some of these extreme violent left-wing groups that are operating in America's streets. And of course, fentanyl poisoning. A lot of people think of that as something that the drug cartels are doing. The drug cartels are really the junior partners. It is really the Chinese that are the senior partners in that operation.
So they have like a direct link to each other.
Absolutely. So if you think about every link in this chain, the precursors, of course, we all know come from China. Those are the you know, component parts of the fentanyl. They get shipped from China. They go to a port in Mexico called Manzanillo. 90% of the precursors go there. That port, that terminal is run by a Chinese company. Mm. They take those precursors, they send them up to a town in northern Mexico. It's got to be put together and made into fentanyl. There are 2,000 Chinese nationals in northern Mexico that are doing that. They live there and that's what they do. When they want to create the pills to put the fentanyl in, they use pill presses that the Chinese have provided them. Mm. Then the cartels, when they communicate with each other, they need secure communication. They're using Chinese apps and they're using Chinese devices because they know that the Chinese will not share those communications with the United States. And then finally, the laundering of all the drug money. In the cocaine days, the Mexican cartels used to do that in Latin American banks. Now they do it in Chinese state-owned banks.
Wow. So this is... you know, it was a thing that I always, when the fentanyl really started getting bad,
yeah,
I was like, I don't understand why Mexico would be, I mean, I get it that it, for them, it's about the money. For Mexico, it's about the money. But I'm like, but if you're killing all of your customers,
right,
why would you, like, that's not a solid business model.
No, and that's a genius point that you're making, because on the face of it, it doesn't make sense,
right,
because the cartels are doing that. Here's basically the trade-off. The cartels are helping kill their customers, but the profit margin for fentanyl is 8 to 10 times what it is for cocaine. So they're willing to suffer those casualties. Meanwhile, the senior partner, the Chinese, making money is great, but what they really want to do is kill Americans.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing with fentanyl, it's not like heroin, it's not like cocaine. Most people that are dying from this poisoning don't even know they're taking fentanyl. They think they're taking a Vicodin or it's some college kid who's, you know, says, can I borrow an Adderall from a roommate to study for an exam? They take it and suddenly they're dead. It's now the leading cause of death for Americans under the age of 45.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And China's like, good. We want to kill Americans. This is how we're going to do it. So you talk about the social justice movement as well, and China's involvement in that here in this country.
Yes.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So it's on a couple of levels. First, if you look at a lot of the violent protests we had in 2020 with BLM and those issues, and the ones we're having now with sort of the pro-Hamas protests that we're seeing on the streets, there's two groups that are leading them. One's called PSL, the other one's FRSO. These are hard left groups that are aligned with China. They've sworn allegiance to China, to the CCP. In some cases, they have met with Chinese CCP officials. There are flows of funds. And so this is part of their effort to push extremes. A lot of people went out in 2020 to say, hey, we're concerned about how the police are interacting in the Black community. Well, these groups went out and said, no, all cops are racist. We need to shut down all the police. And they have these violent protests. So they're doing it on that level. But then you look at a movement like the trans movement, which has grown up in the last 4 or 5 years, kind of emerged out of nowhere. Turns out that two of the biggest funders of that movement are actually Chinese billionaires. One of them is a guy named Roy Singham. He's an American who made his fortune selling his company to an investment firm partly owned by the Chinese government. He moved to China. He lives now in China. He's friends with CCP members. He, you know, is invited to their events. He has these close ties. He's put $161 million into radical causes, a lot of that into the trans movement. The other one is a guy named Joe Tsai, who is one of the co-founders of Alibaba, which is the kind of Amazon of China. He's poured tens of millions of dollars into the trans cause. And here's the crazy part, Sarah. If they were true believers in that this was just something they were passionate about, you would expect them to be doing the same thing in China.
Exactly right.
But they're not. They're only doing it in the United States, even though I think anybody in that community would say the situation is far worse in China than it is in the United States. Mm-hmm. But they're not pushing the cause there.
Which, I mean, same goes for like TikTok.
Yes.
Right. I mean, they don't allow all of this madness to go on in their own country. I mean, you're looking at China and they're like, I'm not advocating for like their policies with their youth because obviously they go too far. But I mean, they're turning their young boys into machines, getting them ready for war. And we're just like, we're chopping off our kids' body parts.
Yeah.
And celebrating our inclusion or something. So I mean, it's really scary when you look at what they're doing and how they're building up for success. And we just seem to be completely asleep at the wheel. Yeah. It's scary.
Yeah, no, they call it cognitive warfare. And they think that if you look at the future trajectory, things look better for China than for the United States. You've got TikTok, which is controlled by ByteDance, you know, this Chinese company close to the CCP. I quote in the book extensively from Chinese propaganda experts who talk about how TikTok is the Trojan horse that they have access to our kids. And what are they feeding our kids? Basically cotton candy, somebody in blue hair screaming on a street corner. That's basically what you're getting on TikTok, and our kids are getting that. ByteDance has an equivalent in China called Douyin, but you don't have blue hair screaming on the street. They're looking at science experiments, lessons in Chinese history, of course, distorted to the CCP version. It's a much more serious educational app. So they're giving us our kids cotton candy. They're giving their kids spinach, and they're very confident they're going to win the cognitive warfare going forward.
I mean, I'm a little bit nervous that they are going to win going forward. Yeah. And not to mention, Peter, you've done so much work on this particular subject as well. It's like, well, don't worry. It's not like we have a compromised president, right?
Yeah.
Don't worry. Yeah. Biden will handle it. He's not compromised by the CCP.
Yeah. He's compromised by the CCP. He's also, so quiet on the issue of fentanyl. He never, ever, ever wants to confront the Chinese of their involvement. When he meets with the Chinese officials, he says, well, I raise it, but no finger pointing.
Right.
Well, what I point out in the book is that the Chinese gang leader, there's a gang called UBG, headed by a gang leader named Zhang Anlo, who also goes by the name White Wolf, right? If you're a gang leader, you have to have a name. White Wolf, that's the gang that set up the Sinaloa cartel and made them the kings of fentanyl in Mexico. Wow. He has a business partner who in 2017 gave the Bidens $5 million.
Oh my gosh.
So you literally have one degree of separation from the first family, the Biden family, to the fentanyl trade in Mexico. So does he really want to have a conversation about this? No, he does not.
Of course not.
And that's one of the reasons that I think that he is silent on that issue and silent on a lot of other things as well.
Wow, that is fascinating. Tell everyone where, I know we got to take a quick break here and I want to respect your time. Tell everyone where they can find this book.
You can find it everywhere. We were number one last week on Amazon whole week. And you can find it in any bookstore. They've got it at Costco and Target and everywhere. So
I love that. Blood Money by Peter Schweizer. Peter, thank you so, not just thank you for being here, but thank you so much for all of the work that you do. You are just You've done such tremendous work digging and uncovering so much that we don't have many journalists and investigators quite like you anymore. So I appreciate all of your work.
Thanks so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. We'll be right back. I want to welcome Jason Buttrell to the show.
Best for last.
Yes. And he actually, we were going to be matching and we were both going to be sleeveless, but then he put a jacket on because he was cold. Oh, sun's out, guns out, baby.
It's kind of cold out here. Yeah, I don't know how you deal with it.
No, I know. I was like, well, it's funny because I was on the way here. And of course, my husband, who is the director here, he texted me, it's cold in studio. And I was like, well, I'm already in the car. So
used to it by now.
Yeah, I was like, that doesn't, I can't grab a sweater. That doesn't help me now. So I know we don't have much time here, but I wanted to bring you on to talk about last night in San Francisco. Voters overwhelmingly voted in support of several ballot measures aimed to quell the spike in crime and drugs. Who could have guessed that would have happened? So now they voted for Measure E to expand police powers by making it easier for officers to pursue suspects and provide the police force with new cameras and drones, and Measure F, which will require drug screenings for adults receiving welfare, both passed with 60% or above in favor. And wow.
What a crazy, crazy shift. It was just a couple of years ago where they were ushering in Cheza Boudin as the radical DA.
Yep.
And if you don't know who he is, he's basically like a Marxist with, I think it was his parents were in Weather Underground.
Yes.
They went from that to getting rid of him mid-tenure and now radically reversing everything. But look at the trend. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, wasn't he the first like Soros-backed DA that we saw?
So
was he the first one?
His connections to Soros were a lot more hard to find out. There was like groups that support groups that support groups that eventually go back. But I mean, but the traces were there. And all those other DAs and attorney generals that were getting thrown in by Soros, they were either on their way out or they're now in those areas that's happening. What's happening now in San Francisco is the same. But I mean, this is a crazy trend. Just what was it this week also? Oregon,
right.
Also.
Right.
Or recriminalizing drugs because they found out that, when you just let people run wild with drugs.
Turns out that's not a good policy.
Not very good.
Oh, no.
Some people might overdose, and so they're reversing. New York governor now putting National Guard in the subways. Is this, go to places like Mexico where you're like, oh my gosh, that guy's standing there with an Uzi and he's got a uniform on. Like, what is happening? Am I safe? That is now New York City.
I know.
Gosh.
It turns out, Jason, that not like having law and order in your cities is not a good policy, it turns out. I don't know who could have possibly predicted that just letting people run wild and decriminalizing things like, petty theft and all of these things that we all agreed were bad things and shouldn't happen. It turns out that that's not such a good idea.
Where do they get this research? I mean, where do you find research material on that? If you just let people like break the law? Where does it say they're going to break the law then, and do violent things? Where do they get this?
I just...
Give them the benefit of the doubt, sir.
No, I won't. I won't. Stupid. I won't. And you're seeing these leftist, I was going to say utopia for them, but clearly I mean dystopia, all of these cities and how far they've fallen. And part of me is like, I don't even know if you put the genie back in the bottle at this point. Like when you're talking about New York with Kathy Hochul saying that they're going to put these, more National Guard in the subways and all. And now all of a sudden you guys are going to get tough on this. But like, is it too late?
Yeah. I don't think so. I think there will be a radical shift back to normalcy. I hope so. Like they railed for the longest time against stop and frisk. This is essentially stop and frisk. Did you read like the details? So if they're going to go through and if people have handbags, they're going to go and look through their handbags.
What?
Yes, in New York City. So imagine you just going with your purse and like there's a uniformed guy, a military guy. It's like, I'm sorry, sir. I'm going to have to look into your purse. Screw you. Like in New York?
Wow.
That's how bad it has gotten there.
Yeah.
I saw this insane rant by Jon Stewart Have you seen any of his stuff as he's come back?
Try not to.
He's a lot. He's actually kind of a little bit more balanced. So he'll actually hit Biden like SNL like rarely ever does,
if
any at all. But he was talking about, you know, the just incredible, like, there is not a rise in immigrant crime. Well, ask the family of Lake and Riley if there's a rise. But they point to these allegorical searches. I don't care about your allegorical comparisons on numbers. Right. I don't care if there's more domestic crime than there is illegal immigrant crime. That's illegal immigrant crime is crime that should never have happened.
Right.
They don't belong here. They should. She should be alive right now.
Exactly.
If you would enforce the law.
Right.
It's a cascading effect. You're not enforcing the law on the border. You're going to have illegal immigrant crime. You're not enforcing the law in these cities, which I think he even mentioned in his monologue. He's like, I think, you know, that, you know, we've got domestic crime. You know, it's not just a, yeah, we do, because your people are not enforcing the law.
Right.
Have you seen the study? It just blows my mind. I'll see all of these. There was an NBC report, a few other reports that I was looking at that was saying, you know, well, if you look at it, you know, crime is actually on the decline. And they'll look at violent crime and they'll see like homicides and things like that that have declined since the pandemic. Well, clearly there's a rise in just, you know, robberies, burglaries, larceny, because otherwise we wouldn't have effing National Guard in the subways.
Right, right. Don't worry. Everything's fine. We're just militarizing
everything.
Look at
the studies. Look at the studies. Not just troops.
Right. Okay. All right, Jason, hang with me. Okay.
I'm hanging.
Hang with me. We got to take a break, but we want to thank our sponsor really quick, Relief Factor. So for those of you who are living in constant pain, it doesn't have to be that way. All right. What you don't realize is that these aches, these pains, the arthritis, whatever the case may be, it's most likely due to the inflammation in your body. And so you got to target the inflammation to actually get rid of the pain for good. You can do that with Relief Factor. It's an all-natural anti-inflammatory, and it can get rid of your pain. It can be life-changing. So here's what I'm telling you to do. Go to relieffactor.com, get their 3-week quick start. 70% of the people who try that keep ordering more. It's working for that many people. The odds are in your favor. It can work for you. And when it does, it can be life-changing. It's $19.95, and it comes with a feel better or get your money back guarantee. So you've got nothing to lose except your pain over at relieffactor.com. That is relieffactor.com. Jason, I give you our Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris. Watch.
Because when we think about the strength of our democracy, you know, I think that there's a duality to the nature of democracy.
Is there?
When it's intact, it's so strong in terms of what it does to uphold and protect individual rights and freedoms. So strong in its nature. And
very fragile.
It will only be as strong as our willingness to fight for it.
She is so high on something.
And now deep thoughts.
It's so strong. Imagine this, Jason. This woman went to law school, passed her bar, had like a very high prestigious career in California, and she can't even speak.
Well, we know how she rose the ranks.
Well,
I mean, come on. I think that's a...
That's what she said to Willie Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so strong.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.